Soon as Passover, about, what are we, like a month away from Passover now? A month away? So I figured a good topic is hope. What are we hoping? What is hope? The world has its own ideas on what hope is. People hope for a new job, a new car, a new house. People hope to win the lotto one day. And this world is trying to find purpose and meaning for their lives. They're striving for that purpose and meaning. But there isn't only one true meaning in this life. Is true hope a possession or a wish? Something that probably won't happen, or the odds are stacked against our favor? The god of this world, Satan, has created a false hope for humanity. And they are all striving for that false hope today. This worldly hope he offers is material things, money, drugs, perversion even. We see so much perversion in this world today through the law of gay marriage and just awful sexual sins against God and the way that he created the order of reproduction. Satan wants us to take our eyes off of the true living hope. The hope I'm talking about is personified. Hope is personified in the one called Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Jesus Christ, as the scripture says, is our living hope. The world largely rejects the true living Christ as the hope that needs to anchor our lives. I'm going to give three points on how Jesus Christ is our living hope. The first point, the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ. What is extraordinary about the life of Jesus Christ? What did he do? What did he preach? What did he say about himself, about who he is? The gospel accounts give us eyewitness testimonies of the life and actions of Jesus. We can trust these testimonies due to the vast number of manuscripts of the New Testament, more than any other historical document in the world. A lot of other reasons why we trust the Gospels, but we cannot get into those reasons today. That's a whole other topic all on its own. But what did Jesus do on earth? He had a healing ministry. He healed the blind, the mute, the deaf, the lame. He cast out demons out of many people. He rose the dead, as well as many other wonders. He related to his followers. No other religious leader related to his followers the way Jesus Christ did. He ate and drank with sinners to bring them to repentance. He spoke out against religious hypocrisy and piety. Most importantly, it's what he did not do. Jesus Christ never sinned, not even once. Never uttered a curse word. Never did a bad thought cross his mind. He relied on his Father. He relied on him through prayer. What did Jesus preach? Let's turn to Isaiah 61 for our first scripture. Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah 61 and verse 1. Remember, Jesus read this in the synagogue about himself. Isaiah 61 and verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. Remember, what did he preach? To preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God. So Jesus came, and he healed the brokenhearted. Everybody that was downtrodden, he healed them. And he opened the prison to those who are bound. We are bound by sin, but Christ offers that forgiveness. He knew he was going to be sacrificed and offer that forgiveness for those that are bound like chains. And then he just releases us from that boundary into everlasting life. The third one in the life and ministry of Jesus. What did he preach? What did he preach? Remember the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount. Jesus spoke one of the greatest things ever spoken by a human being in the Sermon on the Mount. Turn the other cheek. Take the speck out of your own eye. Things that this world has a lot of trouble doing. Things that this world has a lot of trouble doing. Jesus spoke like no other human being on earth in those words on the Mount. Let's turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 7. Gospel of John, chapter 7. John 7, verse 46. This is when the chief priests and Pharisees wanted Jesus to be arrested and brought to the religious leaders. And they did not bring Jesus to him because his time has not yet come. In verse 46, above that. The officers answered, "No man ever spoke like this man." No man has ever spoke like this man. And remember when they would accuse Jesus of having demons, somebody proclaimed, "But demons can't speak like this man can." So many people believe that he was the greatest speaker they've ever heard. He taught the people about the kingdom of God and who can be there through parables. Most importantly, who can be there. Not everybody. You can't just enter the kingdom of God by your own standing, by your own whims and your own ideas. There's a way. There is a way. He taught how to be humble and compassionate, but also, not just that, to be righteously angry with evil and hypocrisy. Who did Jesus claim to be? Who did Jesus claim to be? Jesus claimed to be the Messiah, the Son of God, the I Am, the Bread of Life, the Good Shepherd, the Door, the Vine. And Jesus Christ, most of all, claimed to be God through his actions of receiving worship. And he's worthy of worship. And he claimed to be the I Am that Moses spoke to in the burning bush. Because of the extraordinary life of Jesus Christ, he is our living hope. Point number two, the death of Christ. The death of Christ. Many billions of people have died in the history of humanity. But only one death meant life for all who believe on him. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ is one of the best historical facts. One of the best historical facts. It is concrete. It happened. Any scholar or historian that says the crucifixion of Christ did not happen is disregarded and laughed at. Even the liberal scholars believe in the crucifixion of Christ as fact. Why does the death of Jesus matter more than any other person in history? In the Old Testament, the way sins were forgiven was once a year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest entered the holiest place, but he had to enter year after year to make atonement for the sins of Israel and for his own sin. God only used those animal sacrifices to point to that more perfect and final sacrifice made by Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. Hebrews 10 and verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, that shadow, we know, is that shadow was Jesus Christ, and the animal sacrifice is being done away with, and that more perfect sacrifice coming, that was the shadow, because those animals were a foreshadow of Christ's sacrifice. And not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, talking about the Day of Atonement, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? If those animal sacrifices were sufficient, they would not have had to go on every year on the Day of Atonement. The priest would not have to enter year by year to make atonement for their sins, if that was a good enough sacrifice. For the worshipers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. Do we have consciousness of sins? We know when we do something wrong, of course. But we also know we always have an advocate. And that sacrifice always stands as long as we repent. But in those sacrifices, verse 3, but in those sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. It was only a cover. until the greater sacrifice came, which is Christ. And that was the perfect sacrifice. Jesus is that complete sacrifice that we need for salvation. For the death of Christ, though, to even have mattered, he had to have been sinless. Otherwise, he would have had to die for his own sin. The life of Christ is worth indefinitely more than that of any other human being. Not only because he was sinless, but also he was God in the flesh walking among us. The priesthood in the Old Covenant not only had to go into the Holy of Holies atoning for his sin, but also to the sin of the people. Christ did not have to atone for his own sin. That right there makes him that greater high priest. That greater high priest who offered atonement once for all. Once for all. Let's turn to Hebrews 5. Hebrews chapter 5. In verse 8. Hebrews 5 and verse 8. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Christ suffered a lot, not only with his crucifixion, but rejection. He was rejected by men, Isaiah 53 says. He was rejected of men. And people thought that he was smitten by God because he was up there hanging on a cross. People tried to stone him, throw him off a cliff, said that he was infested by demons. He learned, and he was made perfect by the things which he suffered. Verse 9, and having been perfected, like I said, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Eternal salvation just by believing, the world says? Just by believing? Demons believe, and they tremble. No, to all those who obey him. Eternal salvation to all who obey him. Not just belief. You need to have that living faith. That living faith into good works. Because that's the proof of true faith. The sacrifice of Christ is what brings us assured hope. The assurance that our sins are blotted out and forgotten by God. God doesn't remember our sin. And you know, it's sometimes hard for us to forget our past sins. But we know that Christ and the Father, they forget our sins. They throw it away from them. It's not in their midst. Remember, they can't be a part of sin. They cannot be a part of sin, so they throw it away from themselves. They are blotted out and forgotten by God after we become converted and accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the only Savior. We practice in the church biblical baptism, full immersion with the laying on of hands that the scripture requires. And we receive the Holy Spirit, the very essence of God Almighty, his very power, which keeps us from falling into a lifestyle of sin as long as we keep hold to that Spirit. Last point, point number 3, the resurrection of Christ. The resurrection of Christ. No other world religion in the world has a Savior. No other world religion has a Savior. No other man has ever defeated death. Every world religion, every world leader, they're in their graves today. Only one has raised from death. That's Christ. This is our greatest hope. This is living hope. The hope of life after death. After 3 days and 3 nights, an angel rolled the stone away from the entrance of the tomb of Christ, and he came out victorious over death. Not only, though, did he come out victorious for himself, he came out victorious for all those who would believe on his name for everlasting life, and for those that are baptized into his death and crucified with him. This is hope personified. Personified in the one who lived a perfect life. He died the foretold death and raised up a conquering king. Through the resurrection from the dead, we have hope of also being raised from death into life. And we have no fear in death, for we know what comes next. The kingdom of God. The perfect love of Christ casts out all fear of the grave for those that follow him. Let's read Gospel of John, chapter 11. John, chapter 11. John 11 and verse 25. John 11:25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And I pose that question to you, brethren. Do you believe this? Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. He poses this question to Martha. We know he's the resurrection and the life, because in him is life. We believe in the life of Christ, for he is life, the way, the truth, and the life. We believe in the death of Christ, for in his death is our redemption. And we believe in the resurrection of Christ, for in it is our victory over death ourselves. Hope personified? Hope personified. Is there a person in this world, in this universe, that we can have hope in? There is. We just went through it. Jesus Christ the Messiah is our hope. Our God offers us the only true hope there is through his Son, who lived the perfect life, died the perfect death, and rose the perfect victor. Let's read one last scripture. Turn to 1 Peter. We'll end it on here. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time.